Hello, this is Dave with a quick message for our listeners. Wanted to let you know that Season 3 invites will be going out shortly. So if you're keen to be on the show but you have not applied, please do so at usaquizshow.com and hit the apply link. Also, we are almost halfway to our Patreon goal. As a reminder, once we hit our Patreon goal, we will have a full episode once a month just for our Patreon people. But that's not all. We've already started our empty studio episodes and our game night decathlons over Zoom, plus a few other extras as well. Thank you, everybody who has supported us so far. And if you're interested, please visit patreon.com/USAQuizShow or go to our site, usaquizshow.com. And now, on with the show.
Some people risk buying a used car when they could quite easily afford a brand new Lada. You can drive away any new Lada for only £99 deposit. Typical APR, 19.5. Did you know that, Bobby?
No, I didn't. No.
Well, you do now.
Yes.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that recognizes The Vow primarily as a Rachel McAdams movie. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and with me today are Catherine, the Professor Van Arendonk.
You can't handle the close read.
Andrew, VHS Cunningham.
I'm gonna tape over you.
And Margaret, Hula Hoop Willison.
I'm here to hula whoop your asses.
Hello to everyone, and thank you for being here. Welcome back to our final regulation match in our Season 2 Battle of the Podcast. It's the third match of our Hired Goons division, featuring the hosts of the Appointment Television Podcast. So we've got a great slate of TV games and trivia coming at you. But first, I have to introduce our good buddy, Scoremaster Dan. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, hi there, Taylor. Yeah, I'm a little down today, I gotta say. It turns out my Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show Season 2 fantasy team is doing really badly, and you would think I would be better at this. It turns out I'm not supposed to draft this many kickers. I mean, who knew?
Thank you, Dan. And working the boards always is Production Master Cave.
That's one letter off. I don't even know what that means. That's dumb. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Dave. All right, we got three rounds of TV trivia coming up, but first we're going to play a game of My Champion. That's the game where each of our players chooses a champion from the world of pop culture, but we pick the battle that they're fighting. Critic at Vulture, Catherine Van Arendonk, who is your champion today?
My champion is Deadwood's own Al Swearengen.
Wirecutter senior staff writer Andrew Cunningham, who have you chosen for your champion?
I have chosen Philip Jennings from The Americans.
And from Two Bossy Dames and Pop Culture Happy Hour, Margaret H. Willison, who are you championing today?
I am championing Margaret Hooper, Leo McGarry's secretary from The West Wing.
A Margaret H. for a Margaret H.
Actually, a Margaret Hooper for a Margaret Hooper. We have the same. We're very similar.
Wonderful. All right, champions are locked in. I will serve as judge today, so let's spin that scenario wheel. Today's scenario, which champion would be the best at sweet-talking their way into a first-class upgrade? Catherine, how would Al Swearengen talk his way into a sweet first-class upgrade?
This is a task Al Swearengen was born to do. He is famously, his primary way of operating in the world is to persuade people to give him everything he wants free gratis. He would perhaps offer some cinnamon peaches. He would gather everyone around the table, and you would absolutely see the alarming twinkle of violence in his eye should the upgrade not appear promptly. You would not only give him the upgrade, you would feel honored to have done it, and you would also feel in his service for the rest of your life. It seems obvious to me Al Swearengen just walks away with this.
All right, Andrew, how about Philip Jennings?
I mean, in addition to being in a show that's set when airplanes existed, which I think is a major plus, as a spy, Philip is a social engineering genius, and I think he'd be great at getting the cynical airline, you know, customer support people to give him a new ticket, but just by flashing those pearly whites. even if he was in the depths of a deep depression for some reason.
And Margaret, how about Margaret Hooper from The West Wing?
So here's the thing. I've got two options, right? Either I can betray my ability to win this quiz, or I can betray my actual knowledge of television, wherein I realize Margaret Hooper is not as good an answer for this question as either Philip Jennings or Else Waringen. I gotta go. I'm too much of a know-it-all. I'm more know-it-all than I am competitive. Margaret would be terrible at talking herself into a first-class upgrade. She never has to do it because she just gets to fly on Air Force One. And sweet-talking is not Margaret's game. She's there for hijinks. She's there for misunderstandings. It would be watching her attempt it would be thrilling. And the comedy would be incredible. But I can't say that her success rate would be great. I think her best bet would be like tripping over something and maybe partially concussing herself and having to be put in first class with a doctor for observation. So it's not really persuasive, but she would get that upgrade.
Thank you, Margaret. I'm not sure what sort of triple reverse psychology just happened there, but I think I need to step back from that one. And as much as I would love to see Philip Jennings as Pearly Whites and might be convinced for that myself, I think the ironclad argument for Al Swearengen is going to take it today. Just to be a fly on the wall in the room when that happens, it would be a joy to watch that go down, for sure. So today's My Champion winner is Catherine.
Yes!
Catherine, you've won My Champion, which means you'll go first in round one, and you also get a crack at the half point. Half point is that little guy that helps break a tie before it even happens. Here is your half point question. First class upgrades don't always end well. The fateful Oceanic Airlines flight from Sydney to Los Angeles is one of TV's best examples. What was the flight number?
Oh, no. Oceanic flight. I think it starts with a 7. I think it starts with a... I think there's a 3 in there.
We're really going to quit ourselves. We're going to cover ourselves with glory.
There's
this
a
podcast.
7 oceanic flight. I don't know. 713. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Not too far off. It is Oceanic Flight 815.
Duh. Oh, that was real close, babe.
In the right genre of number.
Certainly was.
You missed the half point, Catherine, but you still get to go first in round one, taking the sting out. Before the days of DVRs and skipping intros and credits on streaming, the logos for the production company used to be an integral and consistent part of the TV experience. So remembering what companies and networks sound like becomes more of a challenge with each passing year. In this game, you'll identify the TV production company from the sound of the logo that happens just before or just after the show. For example, if you heard this clip, you'd know that was the sound of the logo for
HBO.
HBO. The clips are short and sweet, so we'll play them twice and then can ask to hear it again if you need to further jog your memory. If you'd like a hint, I can tell you the name of a show that utilizes that logo. And then as a follow-up, I'll ask you a trivia question about that production company. You can get 10 points for knowing the clip with 5 after a hint and 5 more possible points for a correct follow-up. Catherine, we'll start with you. Here is your first TV production company logo sound.
That is Netflix.
For 10 points, Netflix. As a bonus question, a full year before House of Cards, this American-Norwegian co-production was the first series to air exclusively on Netflix in the U.S.
Lillehammer.
Wow.
Excellent first run for Catherine. Andrew, this next clip is for you.
I believe that's Gracie Films.
Absolutely. This 1987 comedy, nominated for the Best Picture Oscar, was the first feature-length movie produced by Gracie Films.
Oh, okay. So Gracie Films is James L. Brooks, I think. What was the year again? 87?
Yes.
Oh, boy. That I don't know why I asked that, because that's not helpful to me. Was it a hint? Can I get a hint at this point?
No hints on the follow-ups, I'm afraid.
Well, I think I passed then.
This is my only hope, because before we got on the call, both Andrew and Catherine were like, I hope they don't ask any movie questions. And I was like, I hope they do. That's terms of endearment, right?
Terms of Endearment is 83 and won the Best Picture Oscar, but it was before Gracie Films was founded. 87 was broadcast news.
Gosh darn it. I love that movie.
Margaret?
Hi.
Margaret, this next clip's for you.
Grr, arg. Grr, arg.
Oh no, I definitely know this one because it's the one from Buffy, but I cannot remember what that's called. It's, God, I saw that stupid sting so many times. I know, girl. Look, I've heard it. I'm familiar. I know exactly what it goes with. I just don't know what Joss Whedon's dumb production company is named. I don't know. Firefly is overrated. That's my guess.
Wait, hang on.
Margaret, you can't just throw out hot takes to try to distract them.
I absolutely can and did.
Catherine, you know the answer to this one?
Mutant Enemy.
Ah, oh, dang, it is.
But Margaret, you still get a crack at the follow-up.
Great.
This is the one feature-length film produced by Mutant Enemy.
Serenity.
Sadly, no. When it migrated over to Universal from Fox, Mutant Enemy lost distribution rights on Serenity. So this is The Cabin in the Woods is the one movie produced by Mutant Enemy.
You know, if I had to miss questions about anything, I'm glad it was about Joss Whedon's oeuvre. Something on which we've all correctly turned.
For Catherine, this next clip is for you.
Not a doctor. Shh. Not a doctor. Shh.
Oh, shoot. It's on a doctor show. It's on a doctor show. And the doctor, okay, I need a hint.
Your hint is Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay, so it is Mike Schur's production company, which is called Doctor. Damn it. Nope, I don't know it.
It's actually not Mike Schur's. It is Dan Gore's production company.
Oh, Dan Gore's, yep.
And it's called Dr. Gore.
Okay.
But Brooklyn Nine-Nine is co-produced by Dr. Gore Productions and this company, founded by writer Michael Schur.
Well, I didn't know it the first time, so...
Oh, shoot, I know this one.
Oh, tell me, Margaret.
Well, do you pass?
No, yeah, I pass.
Oh, no, Andrew knows it, too. Everybody knows it but you, Kitty.
Yeah.
It's Nick Offerman's voice saying Fremulon, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Fremulon is correct.
So I was about to give away by saying I knew Mike Schur's production company was Fremulon. But
all right, Andrew, here's your production company clip.
Wait, it sounds like a roller coaster of some kind. Can I get a hint?
Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy. That is just outside my sphere of TV experience. I'm going to have to pass that one.
Dang it. Shondaland.
Okay, yeah.
You still get a crack at the follow-up, Andrew. This short-lived series was the first Shondaland show to not be created by Shonda Rhimes herself.
Ooh, you guys are both going to be so mad at me, but I pass again.
Is it the one about the... Is it a one about the jungle doctors?
Off the map or something?
Off the map. Nice pull. It's like teamwork right there. It was beautiful. Yeah,
beautiful teamwork, Kitty.
All right, Margaret, here's for you.
I'll take that hint.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, that didn't help. I've heard it. I'm sure I've watched many shows affiliated with it. I can place exactly none of them. It's all my brain is producing right now is DreamWorks, and I know that's not true. I know that is a film studio. I know the sound is totally different, but that's where my brain, that's all I had.
If I said that it was a yellow lightning bolt coming across the screen to arrive inside a blue circle?
Oh, Touchstone. Gosh darn it.
Yes, Touchstone Television.
Well, at least I knew it was a film studio and a TV studio. Somewhere in my bones, I knew. Just the wrong one.
All right, Margaret, Touchstone Television was renamed in 2007 and then revived later as a brand in 2020 following Disney's acquisition of this company.
What haven't they bought?
It's a great question, Catherine. They've bought everything. They've bought so many things. I know this. I have an answer, and I know it's not right, but it's the answer that's stuck in my head, and this is the way it's gonna go for me. And I'm just gonna surrender to it. I'm not gonna win this on points. I'm gonna win this on banter. We established it already in round one.
Are you guys keeping track of the banter scores? Do you have some kind of extra?
Yeah, but it's calculated in fruit, so it doesn't really translate.
It's okay, guys. The banter score gets tracked in Twitter followers, which is why I always win.
This is
Do you want to throw that answer out there then?
Yeah,
sure. Paramount?
Thankfully, Disney does not own Paramount yet. That is a Fox or 20th Century Fox.
God, I keep forgetting they own that. There are too many things. They own too many things.
All right, Catherine, see if you can identify this clip.
Is that MGM? It's the Mary Tyler MTM. Thank you.
Good save. But by including a cat, MTM's logo spoofs MGM's logo.
Yes, thank you.
What does MGM stand for?
Oh, I know.
They might be giants. I believe that is my
Go for it, Margaret.
Okay, it's Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
Oh, sure.
And this is important because for years, I've been describing Tobey Maguire's wife as Jennifer Mayer, as in Metro-Goldwyn, right? As a way of casting aspersions on the quality of his career by being like, well, obviously, if you marry this scion of the prestigious Louis B. Mayer family, you're good. But she is the daughter of a producer, but of a different one, and you say it Meyer, not Mayer. So,
and you said this, sorry, let's back up. You said this was important?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
And I stand by it.
Can we get a live Twitter follower count on Margaret, please? Up or down?
I know, it looks like it's going down.
Oh, boy.
I loved it, Margaret. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's what I live for.
I feel like we've got those presidential debate like graphs going up and down.
Yeah, how about the approval dials? Yeah.
It's okay, guys. I'm never going to have a majority of the country, but I am going to have, like, my base is inviolable. Mm. I, too, could shoot someone in Times Square, and
that's worked
my fans
so
would still
well.
Like me.
That's what a model to aspire to.
All right, Andrew, see if you can get this one.
Is that Castle Rock?
Yes.
Nice pull. And now, while named for a Stephen King locale, Castle Rock Entertainment was named by this director, who himself has directed two adaptations of King's works.
Ooh, directors. That's not my strong suit. The only Castle Rock thing I know is Seinfeld. So let's say Larry David.
Margaret?
Steven Spielberg?
No, Castle Rock Entertainment was named by Rob Reiner.
I think I have heard that, yeah.
Who directed Stand By Me and Misery. All right, Margaret, next one's for you.
Ready to lose again.
Go to bed. Go to bed.
I know it, but I don't know it. Okay, hint.
The Mindy Project.
Oh, boy. Gosh. Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and say Dunder Mifflin. Dunder Mifflin's the answer.
No, named for Mindy herself, that company is Kaling International.
Huh.
But the go-to-bed voice of Kaling International is writer Matt Warburton, who also co-created this 2019 Hulu miniseries with Mindy Kaling.
Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Correct.
I got one.
And on that good note for Margaret, let's go to a score break from Scoremaster Dan.
High point to low point.
We should start off by saying that in the banter race, Margaret is currently up. She has two cherries and a key. Unfortunately, in our actual scores, Margaret is currently in third place. She has 5 points. Andrew has 20, and Catherine's in the lead with 25.
Sorry, just for clarification, Dan, was I mistaken before that it was just fruit, and where I was mistaken is actually Pac-Man bonus point things? Is that?
Yes, it's actually based on which level of Ms. Pac-Man she is currently at.
You.
Yes.
Thank you.
I want the pretzel. I'm holding out for the pretzel.
All right, Catherine, let's see if you can hold on to your lead by identifying this clip.
No, I'm going to need a hint.
Community.
It's a bigger product. It's not Dan Harmon's production company. It's a fancier one. I choose. I pass. I don't know.
That is the sound of the logo for Sony Pictures Television.
Sure.
I imagine a woman with a torch. Am I getting that mixed up with something else?
You are getting that mixed up with something else, but okay. It does sound like a woman with a torch.
It sounds like a woman should be holding a torch while that plays.
The woman with the torch company is not in this game, so I can say. Okay. That is Columbia Pictures, which is a subsidiary of Sony. So a lot of times you'll see those two in close succession.
Sure.
And fun fact, the woman holding the torch, purportedly her face is based on the face of, this would be much more impressive if I could immediately.
I believe is Tobey Maguire's girlfriend.
Yep.
No, it's Annette Bening. It's Annette Bening. That's who it's supposedly based on.
Okay.
And then there's the one Gary Marshall movie where they actually put Annette Bening herself in the place of that logo at the beginning of it as a cheeky little move.
Mm-hmm. See, me and Gary Marshall, peas in a pod.
Well, speaking of subsidiaries of Sony, one subsidiary of Sony Television is Merv Griffin Enterprises. Catherine, what two game shows created by Merv Griffin are still on the air today?
Wheel of Fortune and... Wheel of Fortune and Price is Right?
Jeopardy.
Oh.
All right, Andrew, next clip's for you.
God, of course I've heard it 100 times and I can remember the name of it 0 times. Is it like NBC related somehow? Can I get a hit? I'll get a hit. Mm-hmm.
Your hint is The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, The Marvelous. Amy Sherman Palladino related. Is it? Ooh, man. Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't get it past.
It's like Dorothy Parker Productions or something like that, right?
That was the sound of Amazon.
Yeah, that's
Prime
just the
originals.
Prime one. That's just the Prime original
Prime
sound.
One? That's why I've heard that. See, if you'd played it right before an episode of The Legend of Korra, I would totally have gotten it.
That's what it sounds like when Bezos. Sorry.
God. Oh. Way to ruin Amazon Originals programming me for the entirety of time, Catherine.
I'm so sorry.
Are you?
No.
Andrew, you still get this follow-up, though. What is the oldest Amazon Original series to have not yet been canceled?
Ooh, is Man in the High Castle still on?
Ah. A slightly older than that is Bosch.
Bosch? I was just about to make a Bosch joke because I didn't know anybody who watched Bosch.
Bosch is so far back on the Amazon Originals that it was one of the pilots that they pretended that you could vote on to make happen or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Margaret, here's your next clip.
Oh, yay. I hate this. Could I have a hint, please?
Nashville.
God, Callie Curry probably has a production company. It's probably named for something, but I don't think it's that one. I'm going to go ahead and say TriStar. It's a production company. You can't deny that much.
No, we're looking a little bigger on that one. Is ABC.
Wow.
ABC Signature Studios.
Who knew?
This long-running reality show is the only show currently produced by ABC Studios to air on CBS.
Hmm. That's a twisty one. I hope... Sorry, I'm not talking it out. Okay, I'll talk it out, but you can't... until I say final answer, I don't have a final answer, right?
Okay, yes. We agree to these terms, Margaret.
I know! You said to talk it out. I'm talking through all parts of my mental process, okay? David T. Cole. Okay, anyways. So I'm torn between The Amazing Race and Survivor. I know it's one of those two, and I know Survivor is on CBS. That I know for sure in my bones. All parts of me knows that part. But I don't know that it has any affiliation with ABC Studios. And I have no idea what network The Amazing Race ever aired on because I've never watched an episode of it, despite having very strong opinions, correct opinions, about which ones amongst my friends would be good contestants. Dang it.
Dave, I know she gets 15 seconds. Do we get all of Bloomsday to go through this? Or
Okay. Sorry, I'm going to go ahead. I'll say Survivor because I know it's a CBS show. Great.
No, it's The Amazing Race.
Dang it.
All right.
Darn.
One more clip for everyone. Catherine, here's your last production company logo sound.
It's real jaunty, isn't it? I need a hint.
The Flintstones.
Hanna-Barbera.
This is the company that actually owned Hanna-Barbera at the time. It is Screen Gems.
Okay.
Screen Gems. Many people claim to have been haunted by the Screen Gems logo, as covered in Rodney Asher's documentary short, The S from Hell, because the way it looks is just very scary and weird. Rodney Asher also directed Room 237, a documentary about several people's wild interpretations of this horror classic.
The Shining.
Oh, good, you knew it.
5 points on that follow-up. Nice. All right, Andrew, here's your final clip.
Is this the Stephen J. Cannell one where he like throws the piece of paper out of his typewriter and it makes an S? Yes.
Well done.
I knew I watched all those 80s crime shows for a reason.
I'm extremely impressed right now, Andrew.
Yeah, thank you. Me too.
All right, Andrew. Stephen J. Cannell appeared on screen as himself in 3 episodes of this ABC procedural as a regular at the title character's poker game.
Oof. The only... Stephen J. Cannell adjacent show, now that I am thinking about it, that I can pull off the top of my head, is Wise Guy for some reason. So let's say Wise Guy.
Margaret knows this one.
Castle.
Yes, correct. Nice. With James Patterson in those scenes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Mm-hmm. All right, Margaret, here's your final clip.
This one is such a gimme and I still can't name it. I've heard it with so many shows. It's very famous. I can tell that it's very famous. This is going to haunt me forever. This round is really just... I've been laid low. I've been laid low with the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. What's my hint? Can I have my hint?
Animaniacs.
Oh, boy. Oh, hey, that's 20th Century Fox. No!
It's definitely Warner Brothers, isn't it?
There's a big WB.
Yakko and Wacko are the Warner Brothers.
They live in the tower with the logo on.
I know all of this. I just need to ask a very important question. Is this a situation where, like, you could have gone really hard or you could have given me a big meaty pitch over home plate because I'd been failing so hard and you just wanted to give me a win and that's what you gave me and I still messed up?
Margaret, what answer do you want?
Look, I want the truth, Catherine.
You do get one last follow-up, Margaret.
Follow-up question.
The notes you heard in the clip are the final notes of this song, made famous by an Oscar-winning 1943 Warner Brothers film.
As time goes by?
Correct.
Movie question.
Going out on a high note for Margaret. Coming up next is a score break from Dan, and then on to round two.
Time for the Face Off 2 score break, brought to you by People United for a sequel to Face Off. In your heart, you know we're right. After one round of play, Margaret is in the lead in the banter contest. She has a recovery heart, the boomerang, and the raft. Unfortunately, Catherine and Andrew are tied for the lead, though. They each have 30 points. Margaret is running behind with just 10, but that means she'll get to go first in round two.
Thanks, Scoremaster Dan. Still plenty of game to go, and a little extra help coming right now to our third place contestant. It's the Threequalizer. Margaret, we've got a quick chance for you to make up some ground with our Threequalizer question. You'll get a question that has exactly three answers, and you'll have three guesses to match as many of those answers as possible. 10 points for each match you can get. Your Threequalizer question is: the three lead characters of 1997's Men in Black and Men in Black the Animated Series operate as agents with single-letter code names. What are those letters?
M?
Still get two more guesses.
Q? Oh my God, I can't remember any of them. I really thought, okay, N. Wow.
Not quite. It is J, K, and L.
I had the notion that they were close together in the alphabet, right? I was just a few off.
You knew they were letters, which is the important thing.
It's really rude to give me an alphabet question as a librarian and then have me get it wrong.
Oh, no.
Very unkind.
It's not their fault.
No, it's mine. Actually, J and K are the two letters in the alphabet. I actually can't ever really remember the order they were in. So even when I did this professionally for my job for literal years, I would sometimes have to sing the alphabet song aloud to myself. Just that section.
Huh? Sure.
Just the J-K-L-M-N-O-P. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, with that, there is no better way to get to know someone than learning a bit more about their personal taste in pop culture. First, we have Catherine Van Arendonk. Catherine, who was the first pop culture character you ever had a crush on?
It was Sully from Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. The way that he throws the axe in that opening credit sequence, I always found very interesting. And there is a very special episode where he suffers from a migraine, and then Dr. Quinn has to go hang out in a teepee with him, and she like rubs his forehead, and it gets quite steamy, partly because she makes it literally steamy inside there to make his migraine feel better. And it was extremely important for me personally.
Steam has remained deeply arousing for Catherine Van Arendonk to this day.
You know, we've all got our things.
That's true.
Thank you, Catherine. And Andrew Cunningham, what big budget film director do you most want to see make a straight up rom-com?
I think Michael Bay is too easy a choice, but you've got a lot of options. Like, I think you can either have an extremely explosive love triangle, like figuratively explosive, or you can do sort of a by the numbers regular rom-com, except for some reason, like the Eiffel Tower blows up at the end of it.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you, Andrew. And Margaret, you have an unpopular opinion to share about Nora Ephron.
I do. I guess this is my hot takes episode. So here's what I would put forward. I just don't think that Nora Ephron should have been allowed to make movies with both Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks simultaneously, right? Because she leans too much on their innate charm and chemistry as performers and forgets that she needs to put reasons in the script for us to like them or hope they end up together. And then you just end up with two people terrorizing future Dr. Callie something at a Zabar's on the Upper West Side because sensibly she will not let Meg Ryan check out with a credit card in the cash line. And they're loathsome, and I hate nothing more than what they do to her in that scene. And I want to love You've Got Mail, and I can't do it. And I think it's Nora Ephron / Tom Hanks / Meg Ryan's fault.
Okay.
Thank you, Margaret.
Callie Torres. That's her name.
What a save. All right, we'll move from that into a round two game for today entitled One Letter Oaf. Sometimes a simple typo in a title gets overlooked and you just have to run with the result. In this game, we'll give you a TV premise for a made-up show whose title is only one letter different from an existing show. You name the new made-up show. For example, if I said this washed-up, depressed, equine sitcom star strives for future success in Hollywood while contending with his troubled past as a Viking, you'd know that the new show was called
Bojack Norseman.
If you ask for a hint, I can tell you a spoonerized star of the original show and the year of its debut. 20 points for a correct answer before a hint and 10 points after the hint. Margaret, we'll keep going with you. Your first one-letter-off show is... A once wealthy family, now in financial ruin, starts over and reinvents themselves on a small island in the Aegean Sea.
I'll go ahead. I'll take that hint.
Starring Lugene Evie from 2015.
Oh, gosh. Darn it. Okay. Okay. All right. Hang on. I'm writing this down because I know it's... Creek. And I'm just trying to think of other islands in the Aegean Sea.
You're working Does it so have to be about the be. Island? Yeah. Margaret.
I know you're all trying to help.
Zoom out.
With Creek.
We're going to get you there, Margaret. Everybody, as
so
a team.
I'm so excited for this. Okay.
You might. All right. It rhymes right. with Creek. It's a place in the world.
Greek. Shit's Greek.
There it is.
Yay.
Oh, boy. Great work. Go ahead, guys.
All right, Catherine. Despite everyone's political idealism and natural hyper-eloquence, it's really hard to pull off a walk and talk when you're drunk on Chardonnay.
West Wine.
Correct for 20 points. And to Andrew, the Fisher family rebounds from the death of their patriarch to keep their socially distanced milking operation afloat.
Can I get a hint on that one?
Starring Keeter Prauza from 2001.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I am the one who doesn't know this one, I think. But my co-hosts both have raised their hands, so I'm going to very courteously pass it on to somebody who knows what it is.
Catherine, you go.
6 feet Utter.
Yeah.
Ah, dang.
For Margaret, celebrities do the cha-cha and paso doble through a department store chain.
Okay, Dancing with the Sears. Didn't need a hint that time.
All right, Catherine. The Behavioral Analysis Unit strives to understand the Chinese dynasty of the years 1368 to 1644 AD. And after three seasons, they'll have to do it without Mandy Patinkin.
Oh.
Any parts familiar in there?
Yeah, it's Homeland. It's Homeland. But tell me the Chinese dynasty again.
The Behavioral Analysis Unit strives to understand the Chinese dynasty of the years 1368 to 1644 AD.
It's not Homeland. It's the one that Mandy Patinkin was in. Okay, yeah, give me the hint.
Starring Gomez Tibson from 2005.
Pass.
Andrew, you know this one?
I want to say Criminal Mings.
Correct. Andrew, this next one's for you. Madeline, Celeste, and Renata face their biggest dilemma yet. After they order their fountain drinks, what size cover do they choose?
Man, I really wish those names were coming together to create a picture for me. Can I get a hint?
Starring Weese Witherspoon from 2017.
Okay, read it for me one more time.
Madeline, Celeste, and Renata face their biggest dilemma yet. After they order their fountain drinks, what size cover should they choose?
What size cover should they choose? Man, I don't know. Reese Witherspoon. My brain's going to Clueless. Or maybe some other movie that she was in.
Truly, she's not in Clueless, buddy.
She's not. Is she in Legally Blonde? She's in.
She is in Legally Blonde.
Okay, so that's probably. That's not the movie.
No,
okay, well,
no, it's not a movie. Also,
All TV shows in this game.
I know you haven't watched this one because your wife came on and did the episode about it with us.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. So it's Pretty Little Liars.
No.
Wait. It's the one where the guy killed. They kill the guy by accident, and they're all upset about it.
All right, Margaret, you teed him up for it. Tell us the answer on this one.
The answer is Big Little Lids.
I knew Little was in it.
And Lies. Little and Lies. You had it. You were so close.
And yet.
Boy, and yet no points for Criminal Mings. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I don't feel any kind of way about that. That's how the chips fall.
I'm ready for my question.
An orphan on Prince Edward Island finds herself investing in Clearasil and Proactive.
Okay, so obviously I know this is Anne with an E, but I guess I'm gonna guess Anne with a P?
Catherine. That. Anne with acne.
Acne with an E.
Oh, acne
That's
with
where
an
we're
E.
Changing
yeah.
one
oh,
letter.
See that
acne
there.
With an E. Okay, Catherine. Teams navigate unique obstacle courses in an attempt to cross the room while avoiding the deadly pit of poorly made Russian cars.
Russian cars. Its floor is lava.
Yep.
But I don't know any Russian cars. So I could honestly add a letter to any one of the words and have it be.
Yeah, and it could be any of the letters.
Any of the letters. I feel like an R is a Russian-y letter, so I'm going to go.
Where's it going to go?
Floor. Oh, Russian car. Floor is. I don't know. Floor is.
You can drive away any new Lada for only £99 deposit.
Floor is Lada, calling back to our intro clip.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm glad that you were the one who missed the intro clip, Catherine, because if it had been me, I would have had to commit harikari.
Yeah, well, that's how it goes.
I just need one where I know the show. Come on.
All right, Andrew, see if you can get it. Did I do that? Asked the nerdy milliner.
Okay, so Family Matters is the Urkel show. So milliner, Miller's, okay. Is there a hint that will help me at all? I think I've already gotten the part that the hint will help me with.
Way to continue playing Andrew by giving him
No,
questions.
I don't want the hint. I want to know the answer. Family matters.
You're going to be so mad when you can't get this.
Yeah, I'm going to be super mad. Family Malters is my final answer.
Family Hatters.
Family Hatters.
You're going to be mad like a hatter, Andrew.
Yeah.
That's what milliners do. They make hats.
I thought they ran mills.
Understandable, but that's just millers.
I thought they wanted to be fancy about their mills, and so they added more letters in there.
All right, well, Miller time is up, so let's go to a score break from Dan.
Margaret's lead in the banter category has actually fallen off a little bit. She now has only the Morningstar and the Pork Chop. Andrew has 30 points in our actual scores. Margaret has 40, and Catherine's still in the lead with 50.
All right.
All right, Margaret, next for you. Mr. Feeney discovers that Corey Matthews is the one responsible for accelerating the effects of global warming.
I can't remember the name of the show, and it's really bad because there was I know a lot about the remake that was just made, but my brain is only coming up with like other shows that played in that. Oh my God, thank God. Okay, got it.
Say it.
It's Boy Meets World, but I have to figure out, that seems like it's two letters. It rhymes. I mean, is it Boy Heats World? Because again, that's two letters.
But if you change one letter, you can get Boy Melts World.
Oh, sure. You could do that. What?
I did get that one, so I'm going to put myself down for another 20 points.
Sure. If we're doing that, Andrew, then I get 40 points for both the questions you missed in the first round.
All right. Here's a word I'm going to screw up for Kathleen's question. Here we go. Hi, I'm Vercingetorix, chieftain of the Arneri.
Hang on, we're going to have a guest. Tara's going to guest pronounce that one for you. They're,
Oh, great.
Pinch hitter, Tara Ariano.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm
Vercingetorix,
chieftain of the Averni and uniter of all the tribes. Have you been arrested or detained by Julius Caesar and his invading army? Do you know you have rights? The Constitution says you do, and so do I. I'll fight for you. And remember, it's Vercingetorix Goodman.
Oh, better call, what's the,
oh, shoot, I know.
It's better call Saul, but the, better call Gaul.
Yeah, nice. Good job, Kitty.
Nice pull, Catherine.
Nice pull. Andrew is a classics major and he couldn't be angrier right now.
He's furious.
He's furious. So he can't even joke. He's so mad.
Oh. Nobody's mad. Who's mad?
Andrew.
Yes.
If this lady, played by the future Duchess, finds out he's not really a lawyer, she'll hock a loogie right in his face.
Duchess finds out he's not really a lawyer, she'll hock a loogie. Can I get a hint, please?
Starring Attrick J. Paddams from 2011.
Yeah, this is another one that I have neither seen nor heard. Man, this really, really hurts me, but I'm going to have to pass again.
We both know the show.
Yeah, it's Suits.
Yeah, it's Suits, but what letters you change? All I can come up with is a swear, which I've already said once on this episode, and I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to.
You're changing the correct letter, but if she's hocking a loogie right in his face, it's...
She spits.
Oh, my goodness. Of course she does. Of course she does.
All right, Margaret.
It's just like your soul escaping from your
body.
It's cool.
I'm glad I have this pen and paper here, so I can just like act like I'm taking notes and that it's going very
I'm
well.
I'm still drawing S's. I'm still drawing cool S's.
I'm ready for you.
MTV reboots an 80s supernatural comedy, and things get hairy when Scott keeps hitting it in the rough under a full moon.
Teen Golf.
Very nice.
Got it in one.
Short one for Catherine. This seamstress is absolutely adorkable.
New...
Oh, no.
It's not New Girl?
It could be.
Stop helping.
Seamstress.
I can't help it.
Well, then help me.
Adorkable.
I tried.
Unfortunately, my brain supplied an answer that doesn't work, but it makes sense, but it doesn't meet the rules of the game. Because in knitting, you can purl, and so my brain said new purl, and now I can't find another answer. So pass.
So girl.
Yeah, so girl.
Oh, sure.
So girl. All right, our final one-letter off TV description is for Andrew.
Gonna do it. Here we go.
The hardest thing about keeping this Mississippi strip club open is learning to bump, set, and spike.
Mississippi strip club with some kind of volleyball. Can I get a hint?
Starring Randy Bevins from 2020.
Yeah.
Strip club, strip club, strip club. What shows have strip clubs in them? All right. No, I don't
know what the volleyball is, but I know what the show is.
Well, I don't know that much, so maybe between us we would get the answer.
What do you think it is, Catherine?
It's P-Valley. But I don't...
P-Volley.
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 Teamwork, yay.
Collectively, we would be really formidable.
I guess split it three ways, and then I'll take the extra points because I need it.
All right, that'll close out round two. Coming up next is one more score break from Dan, and on to our final round. Before we get to our last round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's riddle by next week's episode, and you can win fabulous non-prizes. For instance, score break naming rights.
Like its defenses, it finally fell. People were upset, it was easy to tell. How to react with their patients on fumes? How about delivering 20 tons of legumes?
Think you know the answer to that? Check the link in your show notes or find the page for this episode at usaquizshow.com and show off that knowledge. All right, Dan, coming into the final round, what are our standings?
Well, we actually have a little bit of a change in the scores in the banter category. It turns out Andrew's quiet rage has moved him into the lead in banter. He now has the full tanuki suit.
That was the plan all along. Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
I know it's real galling for you, bud.
Thank you.
But in the actual scores for the game, Catherine is in lead with 70, Margaret's got 60, Andrew has just 30, having successfully shot the moon in round two, although we forgot to tell him that was not actually one of the rules of the game. That means that Andrew's going to go first in round three, and he'll need to get 5 questions correct in his category to pull into the lead.
Thank you for the update, Dan. Those standings, however, are not yet set in stone, because it's time for everyone's last opportunity for big points. It's the lightning round. Players will have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. You'll earn 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are When Carrie Wrote Her Diaries, Characters Welcome, The Bones Zone, and Appointment Television. Now, the names of those topics might be a little bit mysterious, so do your best to choose something that you'll do well on, or perhaps try to keep something easy away from a fellow player. Andrew, in third place, you get to choose first. Which of the 4 categories would you like? Once again, they are When Carrie Wrote Her Diaries, Characters Welcome, The Bones Zone, and Appointment Television.
I can't not take The Bones Zone, so that is my selection.
And what do you think The Bones Zone is going to be about, Andrew?
Either the show Bones or actual human bones.
What do you think there are more of, bones in the human body or episodes produced of the show Bones?
I actually know this. There are more episodes produced of the show Bones, and I know that because I read that fact and thought really hard about what a missed opportunity it was.
Well, in the case of this round, it is going to be questions about the TV show Bones.
Oh, I'm so happy for you, buddy. It's huge.
90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Andrew, are you ready?
Yes.
Early seasons of Bones were helped by a lead-in from this reality competition show hit.
Amazing Race.
American Idol. Bones is very loosely based on the life and novels of this forensic anthropologist.
Kathy Reichs.
Temperance is jealous of Dr. Beth Mayer, played by this Golden Girls actress.
Pass.
This Daredevil and Green Mile actor starred in the Bones spinoff, The Finder.
Pass, man.
Billy Gibbons of this rock group guests as Angela's father.
ZZ Top.
Temperance Brennan's lab is in this East Coast city.
Washington, D.C.
In a very 2006 move, creators hid clues for an episode on this social networking site.
Facebook.
MySpace. In season 11, Bones crossed over with this supernaturally tinged Fox show.
Sleepy Hollow.
David Boreanaz' character claims to be descended from this presidential assassin.
John Wilkes Booth.
This animated Fox character shows up as a hallucination.
Stewie Griffin.
Temperance's father is played by this love story lead.
Ooh, pass, forget his name.
This Freaks and Geeks actor plays FBI psychologist Lance Sweets.
Pass, damn it.
Bad guy Arnold Vosloo is better known for his role as this title universal monster.
Godzilla.
The Mummy. This New Girl actress plays Temperance's cousin in season 5.
Zooey Deschanel.
Zooey Deschanel after the buzzer. All right, Dan, give us the Andrew report.
Absolutely. So first, let's go over those skipped questions. Betty White plays Dr. Beth Meyer, who inspires jealousy from Temperance Brennan. Michael Clark Duncan was the star of Daredevil and The Green Mile, who was in the Bones spinoff The Finder. Ryan O'Neal is the love story lead who played Temperance's father. And John Francis Daly is the Freaks and John Geeks Francis actor Daly. Who played psychologist Lance Sweets, who got anonymously killed off on the show because he wouldn't commit to too many episodes for the following season. With that, Andrew got 6 correct questions. That gives him a total of 90 points. And Andrew is now in the lead. Margaret's up next. She'll need to get 4 correct in her category if she wants to pull into first.
All right.
Margaret, your remaining category choices are When Carrie Wrote Her Diaries, Characters Welcome, and Appointment Television.
So this is really hard because I assume Characters Welcome is about USA shows, which I sort of know but don't really know. And I assume When Carrie Wrote Her Diaries is about the Carrie Diaries. I'm going to take When Carrie Wrote Her... No. I'm going to take Characters Welcome. Because I don't think Catherine really watched the Carrie Diaries either. So I don't think that'll be an easy round for her.
You're spot on with your instincts, Margaret. Characters Welcome is the slogan of the USA Network. So we'll be asking you questions about shows produced for USA, including a few that might have started life elsewhere.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna give it my best.
90 seconds on the clock. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This Tony Shalhoub show was nominated for 18 Emmys during its run.
Monk!
This low-rent cop show starred Rob Estes and Mitzi Capture.
Pass.
This Breakfast Club alum had the lead for 6 seasons on The Dead Zone.
Emilio Estevez.
Anthony Michael Hall. Corbin Burnson is a former cop and the father of the lead character on this show.
Pass.
2019's Treadstone is a spinoff of this action movie franchise.
The Fast and the Furious.
The Bourne series. This 90s William Shatner series somehow got nominated for a primetime Emmy.
I got a pass, but I'm mad.
After CBS
pass.
Canceled it, the 4th season of this helicopter-based action show premiered on USA.
Pass!
This Seinfeld star starred as the voice of Duckman.
Jason Alexander.
Brooke Langton took on the Sandra Bullock role for the TV version of this 1995 movie.
The Net?
This Lucifer star had the lead in medical drama Rush.
Pass.
This police procedural eventually replaced Chris Noth with Jeff Goldblum.
Pass.
The original vision for Burn Notice had it set in Newark instead of here, its eventual setting.
Miami.
Mary McCormick is a federal aide... Time's up. Question about In Plain Sight at the buzzer there. Dan, give us the Margaret report.
Margaret has, a couple of passes there. I think I might be here longer than she was. The low-end cop show with Rob Estes and Missy Capture from the early 90s was, of course, Silk Stockings. Psych was the show where Corbin Burnson played the lead character's father. I'm so happy I get to say this. The 90s William Shatner series that got nominated for Primetime Emmy was Tech War, based on the novels that William Shatner didn't actually write. And even more happy, I get to talk about the helicopter-based action show on USA, which was Airwolf. Tom Ellis was the lead in the medical drama Rush, and the show that replaced Chris Noth with Jeff Goldblum was Law & Order Criminal Intent.
Dang it!
Now, you might remember a few minutes ago, I said that Margaret would have to get 4 questions correct in order to take the lead away from Andrew. And she did. She got 4 questions correct. She now has 100 points, better than Andrew's 90. That means that Catherine is going to need to get 4 questions correct to take the win in 3 to force a tie.
All right, Catherine.
Yeah.
You can either choose When Carrie Wrote Her Diaries or Appointment Television.
I am going to take Appointment Television. I don't know what it is about.
It's going to be real facts about our personal friendships with each other.
My concern is that it is about scheduling, and I'm going to screw that up. But I've committed now, and here I am.
Not quite. It's actually going to be questions about TV doctors, dentists, psychiatrists, people with whom you make an appointment.
Okay.
90 seconds on the clock. Catherine, are you ready?
Let's do it.
This dermatologist-based reality show was a surprise hit for TLC.
Pass.
This ABC show follows the staff at the hospital formerly known as Seattle Grace Mercy West.
Grey's Anatomy.
Tony Soprano is first referred to her after his panic attack.
Dr. Melfi.
The Good Doctor is an American adaptation of the show from this Asian country.
Taiwan?
South Korea. Fictional versions of this Wild West dentist have appeared on Star Trek and Doctor Who.
Wild West dentist? Pass.
Dr. Shin diagnoses Rebecca Bunch with borderline personality disorder on this series.
The name of the show with the thing and the West Medina of the past.
He spent 8 seasons as Dr. Mark Sloan on Diagnosis Murder.
Dr. Mark Sloan? Who did? Sorry?
He spent 8 seasons as Dr. Mark Sloan on Diagnosis Murder.
Oh, I don't know. Pass.
This professional therapist had a show for 7 seasons on Comedy Central.
Professional therapist on Comedy Central? I don't know, pass.
He played Jerry's dentist, Dr. Watley, on Seinfeld.
Nope, pass.
He created the often campy plastic surgery drama, Nip Tuck.
Oh, Ryan Murphy.
Ryan Murphy at the buzzer. Dan, give us the Catherine Report.
All right, so in a show I'd rather forget exists, Dr. Pimple Popper is the show that was a surprise hit on TLC.
Yeah.
The only Wild West dentist I know is Doc Holliday.
Uh-huh.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend was the show that Dr. Shin diagnosed with Rebecca Bunch.
Wasn't in my head.
West Medina. I hear it's really funky in West Medina.
Dr. Mark Sloan, the other Dr. Mark Sloan, not McSteamy, was played by Dick Van Dyke, who is definitely not Dr. McSteamy. The professional therapist on Comedy Central was Dr. Katz, professional therapist, Squiggly Vision, and Bryan Cranston played Jerry's dentist, Dr. Watley, on Seinfeld. That means Catherine got a total of 3 questions correct.
Ladies
and gentlemen, we have a tie and need to move into our tiebreaker. Both Catherine and Margaret are at exactly 100 points.
Catherine, I really thought that last one was you getting 4, and I was going to make a joke about how I wanted you to be our champion because you know the most, but then you always choke when it really comes.
I always choke. It's the thing.
Our tiebreaker round is called the VIP round, which stands for Very Important Potato.
Okay.
We're playing a game of hot potato between Margaret and Catherine. I will give you a category of something, and you will go back and forth naming things in that category until someone can no longer. The last person standing will be declared the winner.
Okay. All right.
Your category is television series and miniseries created by David E. Kelly.
The Practice.
Boston Public.
Big Little Lies.
Ally McBeal.
The Undoing.
Boston Legal.
The Firm? Is that a thing? Nope.
So our final scores are Andrew with 90 points, Margaret and Catherine both went for 100, but with the tiebreak, our victor today is Margaret!
Margaret! Woo! Woo! Hooray!
Margaret!
This is truly the twist no one could have seen coming.
Well, a huge congratulations to Margaret, but sadly means it is the end of the road for Andrew and Catherine. Guys, so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on today. Andrew, where can we find you out in the world?
I am on Twitter at Andrew Writes. I also have a podcast called Overdue at overduepodcast.com. And you can find my stuff at The Wirecutter. That's nytimes.com/wirecutter.
Wonderful. And Catherine, anything to plug?
Andrew and I have a podcast called The Bones Zone. it has been the joy and privilege of our quarantine to create this ridiculous podcast no one needed. Please come listen. We have some lovely guests.
Thank you, Catherine. But the biggest congratulations today go to Margaret. Margaret, you're moving on to the Hired Goons Division Finals.
I'm going to try and do you guys proud.
So, Margaret, when we get to the playoffs, the level of competition is going to be raised. So what are you going to be watching, listening to, reading in the meantime?
I just got screeners for Bridgerton, so I think I'm probably going to be watching that to calm myself down.
And where can we find you out in the world?
You can find me at my Twitter account, Mrs. Friday Next, at my newsletter, Two Bossy Dames. That's twobossydames.substack.com. And of course, you can catch all three of us together on Appointment Television, where I am always the loser.
And listeners can also follow Margaret as the rotate refresh emoji as she continues on through the season bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the Joy Luck Division Finals, featuring Alan Sepinwall and two other returning champions whose names I will record for Dave once we actually know who they are, since we're recording these first matches wildly out of order. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Hey, remember Dan's riddle, everybody? If you know the answer, head to the link in your show notes or the page for this episode on our website, usaquizshow.com. While you're there, check out brackets for past and future seasons and apply to be a contestant on the show.
You can always find us online on both Twitter and Instagram. On both, we're at USA Quiz Show.
The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show is produced with love and manic energy thanks to our host, Taylor Cole, Quizmaster Dan Cassino, and yours truly, producer David T. Cole.
Hit that subscribe button, and we'll see you next week.
I hate this.